If America Fest had a Hollywood blind written about it, it would go like this. At least this is what I imagine. Blind item number 1776. There's something to look forward to in Phoenix, Arizona. The biggest names in the conservative movement are gathering for the biggest party of the year. In attendance will be the Wonder Boy, who started a conservative youth organization, the beanie-loving podcast host, and the most controversial man in cable news. Insiders claim the event is taking place December 17th through 20th. It's anyone's guess who will join, but you best believe they're gonna be spicy. And you know there will be a concert every night by some of the country's biggest, hottest stars. The party is RSVP only, but this blind will reveal one crucial detail. Go to amfest.com and use code POPLITICS for 25% off. All the cool, cute conservatives will be there. Will you? It was the velour age of Hollywood, a time when Betsy Johnson dresses, Juicy Couture tracksuits, Ed Hardy rhinestone prints, and excessively layered outfits were the It Girl uniform. Paris Hilton ruled the Hollywood club scene alongside other A-list names like Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, Nicole Richie, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, and Justin Timberlake. They were the hottest tabloid topics. Kim Kardashian at the time was literally Paris Hilton's assistant. Like, wow, we have come a long way. From love triangles to wardrobe malfunctions, rehabbed rom-coms, clubbing candids, and public meltdowns, the early 2000s topped Hollywood's golden age by reinventing the way we consumed and distributed celebrity gossip. And the concept of celebrity or fame felt closer than ever, all thanks to the notorious Hollywood blinds that were the wallflowers of Hollywood. They were inconspicuous, brutally honest people, and always watching and willing to share with us peasants like you and I. So, what exactly are Hollywood blinds? Well, they're anonymous blogs dedicated to spilling all the celebrity, the gossip, secrets, stories from wild weekends on Hollywood's elites. Blinds were literally like bringing Hollywood to your Hotmail. None of it would have been possible without the minds behind the blinds and the paparazzi that acted as accomplices. In a place like Hollywood, anyone could say anything, of course, but in order to really say something worth noting, one had to have a reliable source, which is where today's anonymous guest comes in. And yes, I said anonymous, which is why there is no video version of the podcast today on the Poplitics YouTube. It's audio only because our guest has never ever revealed his identity publicly. You may know him via the blog he started, Crazy Days and Nights, which has successfully published blinds and some of the juiciest celebrity reveals for well over 10 years now. You also might know him from another famous Hollywood blinder, Demois, or even seen him referenced by Instagram famous investigative journalist House and Habit. Today, he'll divulge tea on some of the biggest stories he's covered in his career and spill what he knows about some of the biggest A-listers today, from Taylor Swift, the Biebers, Justin Timberlake, Amanda Bynes, even Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. He's the real-life gossip girl, except he's the real deal, and his insider knowledge will leave you shook. Please give a star-studded welcome to NT Lawyer on The Spillover. You created one of the most successful Hollywood blind sites, but you have to explain what a Hollywood blind is for people that don't know. They're hearing this term for the first time.
Well, blind items have been around for a very long time, and they have gone through periods of popularity, you know, peaks and valleys and stuff. And I would say that the last peak prior to, say, mine is, you know, Ted Casablanca used to do them over on E! There was New York Daily News, did them. Gatecrasher was a great blind item. Then you have Michael Musto, who in the Village Voice would literally have 200 or 300 at once. And they've been around forever. And the idea is that for salacious gossip, instead of saying the person's name, you make up some code about them. And mine generally refer to whatever list they might be on the list, A list, B list, things like that, and some kind of other descriptor. But you, depending on the nature of the item, you can make it more vague or more specific. And then there's clues that people, if they're regular readers, they go, okay, well, that's a certain person because they always use that term.
Okay. And so you're completely anonymous. So this is one of, well, the only episode that we are not doing video. It's only audio because you use a you know, NT lawyers, like the name you use and everything, but no one's ever seen you or like know anything about you, right?
I mean, for the most part, I mean, there are a couple of people that do just because of necessity or whatever, or, you know, if they're my very good friends and stuff, but I mean, not even my whole family knows. So
that you are NT lawyer.
Correct. They don't. A lot of them don't know.
So growing up, I mean, were you always interested in pop culture and entertainment news? Like, how in the world did you get into this obsession with like knowing, you know, and exposing celebrities?
You know, I don't think that I did, actually. I think that it came about probably in high school, college. In high school, there was it was like a fundraiser and there was wrestling, some pro wrestlers and stuff. And I kind of helped out and stuff. And I'd seen these wrestlers on TV and then to see them in real life and you go, okay, it's, you know, it's fake. But then when you see them and everything and they're talking about, okay, well, I'm going to do this to you. And then, you know, I saw some of them using steroids and stuff and it just kind of really shattered my whole kind of, you know, image of them. And then when I got to college to support myself through college, I promoted concerts. And so I started meeting a lot of bands and seeing a lot of behind the scenes kind of stuff. And that kind of always was with me. But the reason the blog started, I was just bored, literally bored at work one day. And I had said, you know what? I saw one of my friends was on Blogger and I said, well, I'll try that. And I did that, didn't write very much. And then a couple of weeks later, I had one of the biggest blinds I've ever had, I think.
Which and was about so what? Just,
that was the MV blind. And MV kind of stands for Milli Vanilli because they had lip synced. And the blind was about Jennifer Lopez not singing any of her songs and also having people sing for her on tour where she would just kind of over certain tracks. And over the years, I would give clues basically every November because that's when I started the blog. You know, I'd give a clue and give a clue. And the way I kept writing the clues was it really could have been a couple of different people. It was either Jennifer Lopez or Britney Spears or somebody. And finally, I just said it was Jennifer Lopez. And then over the years since then, you know, Ashanti's come forward and said that she sang a lot of Jennifer Lopez's songs. And there's other people. And it's not a big deal. It was a big deal in 2006. It wouldn't be a big deal in 2022 because everybody knows that people lip sync. Everybody knows that there's other people that come in and sing the high notes for certain songs. But back then, I mean, it was fairly scandalous.
Okay, so the name NT lawyer, in my mind, I've always read that as like short for entertainment lawyer. Like you are someone that is mysterious, that is an entertainment lawyer for celebrities, but you don't want to disclose who you are. So is that what NT lawyer means?
I mean, that's what it means. Yeah. It was short for entertainment lawyer. You know, you had some name on Blogger, so I put NT and it kind of stuck. And yeah, I'm an entertainment lawyer, but I don't ever talk about any of my clients or anything like that. And honestly, at the beginning, it was more my personal stories. Now I only really talk about my personal stories in Novembers, during like an anniversary month. I'll you know, rehash some personal stories, but mostly now it's just stories that others tell me.
Right. So, I mean, if you have attorney-client privilege and all that kind of stuff and you don't talk about your clients, then how in the world do you get this information about celebrities that you're sharing?
Because I have other friends. It's not just like my clients. So I know a lot of people. I mean, going back in time, I have friends. I have lots and lots of friends who work on movie sets, television sets, and not just actors and actresses and things like that, but you know, cast, crew, directors, writers, you meet everybody. Everybody thinks that Los Angeles is this big sprawling metropolis, which it is, but the entertainment community is actually really, really small. And, you know, the studios are really fairly close together. Everybody kind of lives in one certain area and everybody just kind of works here, works there, works on a bunch of different projects. You know, I know a lot of caterers. I know, you know, people who work at hotel front desks. there's a vast network at this point of people that send me things. And it's not just people in LA. One of the things that has changed over time is how much people across the country are really, really good gossip hounds, because they follow, say, somebody so closely on Instagram and social media that they can tell when something's wrong. They can tell, oh my goodness, this person hasn't posted like in a day and a half. They always post on Wednesdays. I mean, that kind of minutiae.
Yeah.
And then it makes you go look.
Well, and that's, I think, in today's day and age, though, I think, okay, your career span has had to have changed drastically with the invention of social media, because for a while it was only places like blogs or tabloids, paparazzi photos, outlets like E, TMZ that were giving us information about celebrities. But now celebrities post information themselves. They let everyone know everything about their life if they want to, or psycho fans figure it out. So how has, I mean, your, I guess... just strategy on how you reveal this tea changed now?
It has changed a lot, Alex. I mean, if you go back to when I started, it's basically at the time of what I call the Holy Trinity of gossip, because you had Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears, right? They were in the front pages every single day. And if you went and saw a supermarket tabloid like Us or Life and Style or In Touch or People, they were three or four times the size that they are now. I mean, People Magazine is going to stop publishing a print issue pretty soon. So what it was you had this self-fulfilling kind of prophecy, a paparazzi, where they were making a lot of money. The magazines were selling issues. They were thick and filled with ads. They had money to throw at paparazzi. So paparazzi were out there taking pictures and breaking stories and getting celebrities falling down and all that kind of stuff. And it has changed. You've gone from these scrums of paparazzi to every celebrity who's worth anything has their own paparazzi who follows them, who's there for them, who makes sure, okay, let me look at that photo. They can take 20 or 30 different photos to pick the best one. And then even if you don't have that situation, they'll know the names of paparazzi and they'll give them a call and say, look, you know, I've got this product. I'm going to get, you know, paid to carry down the street or whatever. Can you come take my photo?
That's why, so I feel like, is paparazzi even a real thing anymore? Like, does it even actually exist? Or when we see paparazzi photos every single time now, are they being called by the celebrity themselves?
I would say about 90% of the time they're being called by the celebrity themselves. One of the ways that's easy way to check, if you see the celebrity and they're holding a product and it's facing the camera, that's one way. Number two is if they're walking in the street rather than a sidewalk, then they've called the paparazzi because they're making sure that nobody else gets in the shot. So that's why they're walking down the street. So you can look for all those kind of things. The other thing that you can look for is the photo really perfect or is it grainy? To give you an idea. So you had Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn in the water.
Right.
Okay. Could you see anything? It looked like a Loch Ness monster photo.
No, it was okay? So grainy. It was so blurry. So those paparazzi pics had to have been taken like from a helicopter, from a boat far away.
That's real paparazzi photos. When Justin Timberlake got caught cheating in New Orleans, those were paparazzi photos. Those you can tell. Now, using Taylor Swift as an example again, if you see Taylor Swift with Joe Alwyn in the street or something, and they're these perfectly crisp, clear photos, and you think to yourself, wait a second, this is a person who surrounds herself with five or six security guards all the time. There's no way that one person is getting in and getting these amazing shots. So you just always have to think, and you always have to know that you're being played with everything. And never, it's always been bad, but now more than ever, it just, the celebrities are part of the manipulation of, you know, the thoughts, the storylines, things like that, products. And you just have to be, just have an open mind about everything and don't have a celebrity be your be all end all.
Well, when you first started dropping blinds, we are talking the pinnacle of pop culture. Like you were saying, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, all of these different crazy celebrities that are partying. We're seeing them like, you know, coming out of the clubs with cocaine still on their nose and all that kind of stuff. So talk about some of the biggest stories of your career that you dropped when you first started that you'll never forget.
Oh, gosh, when I first started, like I said, I wasn't as careful about things. So I was telling my Britney stories. I was telling my Lindsay Lohan stories. I was telling my Amanda Bynes stories because at that time, you know, probably 2007, 2008, especially before Britney went into conservatorship, you know, we would hung out with, you know, people. I was younger and I was going to clubs more and stuff like that. And so I wanted to see them and be hanging out. And also I was still doing a lot of concerts and stuff. So I would see people then. I'm trying to think of like big stories that I broke back then. And I think, oh, I know one that I broke way, way back in the day. And it involved Demi Lovato. And this story blew my mind when I saw it. And this person emailed me and said, oh, you know, I was at this party with Demi Lovato. Would you be interested in hearing about it? And the party took place in Texas. And so I was like, yeah, of course, I'm always happy to hear it. And so she tells what sounds like the most outrageous story possible. I go, this cannot possibly be true. And I've had those thoughts three or four times, and they've all turned out to be true.
And what were they saying about Demi Lovato?
So this particular one, which later the person who told me sold their story to a magazine after I published it because the magazines were all clamoring for the story. Basically, Demi Lovato went to a party and there was a bunk bed in the living room. That's kind of what made me think, OK, well, maybe this is real, because who makes up a bunk bed in the living room?
Yeah, it's such a weird detail.
Exactly. So there's a bunk bed in the living room. And Demi Lovato walks in and she's drinking, and then she does a bunch of lines of coke. Then she takes the guy that she's with. She gets in the bunk bed and they have sex together in the living room where everybody's there. They finish having sex. They get up. I think they had another drink and then they leave. And so, OK, this is a crazy story, but I'm only making it a blind at this point. And my rule on blinds are that I'll put any kind of puzzle in there. But before I reveal it, I'm going to do some checking. So, but I didn't even have to do that because I posted the blind as a blind. And in the comments that day, somebody goes, oh, you know, I was at that party and the guy that she was having sex with was so-and-so. And it wasn't one drink. She had like three drinks. And so, and then that person bugged me for 3 years or 4 years to remove the comment. Ooh. Because they had put their name in there. And they were getting harassed by the guy that she had called out or something like that. So right as soon as the comment was in there, I go, OK, well, this is a totally true story. The bunk bed in the living room kind of made it that way. And then the demand from the tabloids to have that story, they were all over that one.
So how can you? OK, so when it comes to revealing Hollywood blinds and admitting, so you'll go back and say, hey, remember this story from, you know, 6 months ago? Here's who I was talking about. So people wait around to see who you reveal. But I'm trying to understand legally, and you're a lawyer, so you could speak to this. How do you get away with that? Like, how are you allowed to say, like, hey, this rumor is about so and so or whatever?
Well, first of all, it's true. That always helps. Then the other thing is that because I write every day, a lot of the times, and because my site's only blind items, there are a vast majority of the daily blind items are really not that salacious. They're just bits of gossip that tabloids would have used to run, but they just don't anymore. For an example, something like that, Charlie Sheen hiding money from, you know, Denise Richards or something, but I'll make it a blind. And so then a week later, I'll reveal that. And then usually I have one big blind a day. And so from the period of, say, January 2nd to July 3rd, I'll reveal those bigger ones on July 4th. And the same thing again on New Year's Day from the ones from July through the end of the year. So people, you know, get excited about those. And then in November on Black Friday, I generally reveal other huge ones that I haven't got around to, you know, and I'll do a bunch of those on Black Friday. But yeah, as a lawyer, you look and you go, okay, well, I know this is not true, so I'm not going to post that. One of the things, though, that really, you know, can insulate you, but what you really shouldn't take advantage of is the fact of, say, Section 230, right? Because
yes.
If somebody writes a comment on my page, then I can't get in trouble for that. And it could literally say anything. And I'm not, as somebody who writes, I appreciate that. However, it feels like you can just say anything that you want in the comments and there's no repercussions at all. And I kind of feel like I owe a little bit more duty to it than that.
You know what I just get so sick of when I'm scrolling on social media? How unrealistically celebrities and influencers talk about food. Like, we get it! You drink $18 smoothies from Air One. That's for the LA peeps. You're gluten-free, you're dairy-free, you're paleo, you're vegan, you're vegetarian, you're pescatarian. I don't even know. What the heck is pescatarian anyway? I literally do not know. It doesn't make sense. But eating healthier should make sense. And I know that's rich coming from me. It should be simple, but it also should be appetizing. And for those of us who don't shop at overpriced grocery stores on the regular, what is the solution? Hold your sushi. I have it. Two words, Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers meats are 100% American made. They have zero added hormones or antibiotics. It is all guaranteed better than organic. Now, for the animal lovers, Good Ranchers ensures the best health and care for their animals. Their cattle are pasture raised and chickens are range free. For my more philanthropic listeners, Good Ranchers is all about giving back. And with your purchase, you're supporting meals for those who need them. I love that they do that, which is also so awesome for the holiday season. And for all my foodies out there, this meat is freaking delicious. They even have all kinds of seafood. And you know, I love me a ribeye. I love me a ribeye. But if I could, I think I would live off seafood for the rest of my life. So vegetarians, beware. This meat will convert you, okay? And that's not all. If you go to goodranchers.com/Clark and select your box, you can choose from beef, chicken, or fish. Plus, at goodranchers.com/Clark with code Clark, you will get 2 12-ounce Black Angus New York strips and 2 pasture-raised chicken breasts free. Forget the crap you get at the store. Go to Good Ranchers today at goodranchers.com/Clark and use code Clark for a deal that's appetizingly irresistible. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Here's something I want to ask you just about a couple huge stories involving celebrities. You may or may not have ever blogged about it before, but and maybe you don't know anything or you've never heard this, but I'm just going to see what you do or don't know, okay, and like what you can tell us. There's been for years speculation that Taylor Swift is actually bisexual, that she dated the girl from Glee. Gosh, her name starts with the D. Yes, Diana Agron, and then that she also dated her former BFF and model Karlie Kloss. Yes. Can you speak to Taylor Swift having relationships with men and women?
Yeah, so this is a big deal to me. If I have, there is somebody else who also blogs, her name's Cam Gray, who is basically spends her entirety of the blog talking about and speculating, going through Taylor Swift's various supposed girlfriends, whether it's Diana Agron, whether it's Karlie Kloss. And there are many, many more. And then you look at her songs and everybody assumes that they're all about guys. But really, I think that she's only ever admitted to one or two actually being about guys. All the rest she leaves very up in the air. There is the very famous kiss with Karlie Kloss where they're making out, essentially, and a very grainy video, but they are doing that.
Which was, wasn't that at a 1975 concert, I think it was, possibly?
Yep. There's all kinds of Easter eggs and clues. Nobody ever said that Taylor Swift is dumb. Nobody ever said that T-Pain doesn't know how to promote and publicize.
Right, and T-Pain, for people that are not Swifties, see, I'm a hardcore Swiftie, so I know. So Tree is her PR person.
Correct. And Tree is extremely nice, very open, you know, will talk to me in DMs, you know, occasionally.
Really?
Very occasionally. And she's, you know, I think that she is very effective. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying is that don't believe things. And I think there's a lot of people who believe, say, like the Video Music Awards aren't rigged. But the fact with happened on this last one should show you once and for all that they are completely rigged.
Yes.
That, you know, that Taylor, she just happened to win an award.
She gets to announce her album.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, gets to pick which awards she wants and where in the program is going to work best. And then MTV, who nobody watches the shows anymore, the clip of her announcing the record, everybody sees MTV, 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 MTV.
That clip probably got more views than the actual whole award show itself on cable.
Oh, probably like 10 times.
Yeah. So, okay. Out of all of the tips that you've gotten just over the years, tried and true, consistently, who have you gotten the most tips on that everyone says this is the meanest celebrity?
Oh, the meanest celebrity. I mean, I will have to go just with Kevin Spacey because of the fact that
he's a pedophile.
He is. For years and years and years, and my policy is I don't out anyone, but everybody, obviously, it was an open secret that Kevin Spacey was gay. So the day that he finally did come out as some kind of defense of pedophilia, was a banner day for me where I, you know, revealed a whole bunch of things. But I have never consistently got more tips about creepy behavior, about especially when he was running the theater in England. How many drama students he, you know, harassed, molested, groped. It was just never ending. And I probably never went longer than 2 weeks, over the course of a decade with just people saying, he did this to me, he did this to me, he did this to me.
Well, there's probably a lot more victims then of him that have never, you know, said anything then.
Yeah. And these are not necessary. I mean, they're technically sexual assaults, but just, you know, Kevin Spacey, you know, grabbed my butt or whatever. Or he like tried to grope me and things like that. And just being just super, super creepy. So overall, I mean, if you're looking for a consistent evil person, that's probably number one.
All right. So somebody that I've been very open about not being able to stand is Justin Timberlake. And you brought up a few minutes ago his cheating scandal. Was that a one and done thing, or is he a serial cheater?
Oh my gosh, he's such a serial cheater. And Jessica, okay, her family absolutely hated Justin Timberlake. And, you know, they were together for quite a while before they got married. And they broke up quite a few times because he kept cheating on her. And her family said, okay, you're going back to him again? You're going back to him again? Because she would, you know, break down and just, and it was just, Justin Timberlake has made the career, his career off the backs of women. And
Janet Jackson, one of them, throwing her totally under the bus for the Super Bowl Nipplegate thing.
Exactly. 100%. Cameron Diaz, Britney Spears, just everybody. He or the woman that he was cheating with, you know, on Jessica. Oh, no. You know, just threw her under the bus. And it's just over and over. And people keep giving him more and more chances. And he doesn't deserve any of them.
Give us your take on the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie divorce. Is there someone that is more wrong than right? Are they both equally at fault here? Is anyone the victim?
You know, this is a really interesting question because for most of her career, Angelina Jolie was hated because all the people loved Jennifer Aniston and they, you know, blamed Angelina Jolie. So she was always the, you know, the evil person in all this. And all the gossip was always, I hate Angelina, I hate Angelina. In this particular situation, there is a lot of Angelina Jolie love that I never expected to ever hear because of all the years of the Jennifer Aniston fighting. I think that based on everything that I've seen is that Brad definitely had a problem with drinking. And I think that this contributed to the circumstance. I also think what contributed to the circumstance are the two children that Angelina adopted before they got together. So I think that especially the older one, you know, just only had life with Angelina, basically. And then Brad's there and a teenager and Brad's, you know, maybe having this drinking issue. What I find fascinating about the whole thing legally is that Angelina and Brad had this fight on the airplane in 2016. And the fight, you know, has been documented, but it has only been documented via this Freedom of Information request by Jane Doe. And we'll find out September 23rd, I guess, who Jane Doe is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who do you think? What do you think? Like, is it a mistress of Brad Pitt?
No, it's Angelina Jolie. It's Angelina Jolie.
Ooh.
But here's how she's approached this is that she made a deal with her own lawyer. And then Brad's lawyer, that they weren't going to ever mention this. What happened on the airplane? They both signed documents, never going to mention it. And then starting the day after she signed those documents, once a week or once every 2 weeks, there's been a Freedom of Information Act request filed for what happened on that plane. And the reason is because the FBI investigated because it was on an airplane that the fight happened. So the FBI has the jurisdiction. So she wanted the federal, she wanted it released, but she didn't want people to know that it was Angelina Jolie doing it, but she's been doing it once a week or once every 2 weeks. And this last time that she did it, where the judge ordered the FBI to release everything by September 23rd or give some reason why they couldn't, then it said, it talked about the fight. It talked about him punching the ceiling. It talked about him shoving her. It talked about all these kind of things. She said, oh, I want to leave. And goes, no, I'm going to leave. And then, you know, started cussing around and everything. I think because she signed that agreement, she can't do it as Angelina Jolie necessarily. That's the legal part that's so fascinating to me. But she wants her story heard. And it's going to be heard. And people have, I never thought it would be possible to see Brad Pitt be looked at negatively. You know, I just never thought that.
Now,
but he deserves to be.
Yeah. Well, there's a, in contrast to Angelina and Brad, you know, there is a couple, a Hollywood couple that is just like America's favorite. You never hear anything bad about them. And that is Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Is it really all roses with them?
I think it's roses in the sense that Blake said, okay, I've got it good. I blew it a couple of times with some others, but I'm not going to let Ryan go. And we already know that Ryan is not necessarily the greatest of partners. I think Alanis Morissette would tell you that. I think Scarlett Johansson would tell you that. And, but for some reason with Blake Lively, it works. I think that her one, and you know, Blake Lively is a really pretty decent actress and she's really had to cut back on her career. It feels as if, and this, maybe I'm using the wrong choice, but it feels like she has to go to Ryan and maybe ask for permission to do a movie. I don't think it comes across like that. Oh, can I do a movie? But perhaps, oh, you know, I'm doing this. And then she goes, well, do you think there's any time for me to do
like
something?
They decide in their relationship, in their marriage, like, is it like, can we share the spotlight kind of a thing?
Yeah. To make it, it's different than say like Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling. And Eva, even though she was doing great, she's like, I don't need to work anymore. I'm done.
I'm
good.
Letting you do it.
Yeah. But in the Blake Lively, I don't think that she really thought that it was going to happen like that because she was kind of reaching a peak and then Ryan just took his career to a whole new level. And I think they get along really well. There are a lot of people who send me tips trying to break them up. After a while, you kind of get a sense for, okay, you've got an agenda over here. Do I think Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively argue a lot? Yeah. I don't think that they actually live together most of the time.
Ooh, because of work or because that's just the only way they can stay together is like to be separate?
I think a little bit of both. I think because he does work so much and is gone that they kind of get used to it. And if he is in town a lot more, then I think that they spend some time apart. Hey, if it works for you and everybody's happy with it, it doesn't bother me. I just think that that's what they have going on.
So which celebrity couple is the absolute fakest?
Oh, Hilaria Baldwin and Alec, probably.
Oh, gosh. I mean, they've got to be. I can't even believe they're still together. Is it because they're just they're both such miserable, evil, awful people that they're just like, we're just going to stick this out?
Yeah, if anybody out there has not looked at the Hilaria Baldwin subreddit, you need to subscribe to it and make it a daily part of your life.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Yes, it is the best part of your day. There are daily videos of new ways to say how you say cucumber. there's all kinds of that. Yeah, they're miserable people. One of my things that I try and dig down all the time. And by the way, somebody who's done great reporting on this is Emily Miller, who has worked in a variety of administrations, but has a love of gossip and 90 Day Fiance, and Alec Baldwin is kind of like her thing. But it's just, he's hiding something. He refuses to turn over text messages. And I don't understand why he won't turn them over.
In regards to what? In regards
to
the
Rust shooting?
Okay, the shooting.
Because if there's, okay, I understand, like, if he says, oh, I pulled the trigger, or I meant to shoot her or something. Okay, I can understand why he's not doing that. But he's so adamant about, oh, it was an accident kind of thing. I don't think there's any texts that say he was doing it. I think there's texts between he and another woman that he doesn't want published. Because Hilaria must know every last dark secret. And I don't understand them as a couple. That's probably my worst couple. And they're fake, and the things that they do, and she tries to get famous. But if you're
it's probably a mutual blackmail situation. She has blackmail on him. He has blackmail on her. They're like, well, we have to stay together, or if we're separated, we're going to have to speak on each other, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah, and look what happened, you know, between he and Kim Basinger. I mean, that was awful. But actual fake relationships, I think that they're pretty easy to tell. Usually if there's some kind of project going on, and then there'll be certain people who are really good at that. Olivia Munn comes to mind. Olivia Culpo comes to mind, although she's in a really great relationship right now with Christian McCaffrey. But in the past, she has been willing to do that. Camila Mendes, Irina Shayk, who, by the way, speaking of fake relationships, it looks like she's probably going to get together with Bradley Cooper for award season.
Is he gay or not, though?
I can't talk like that. I don't out anybody.
He doesn't out anybody. But there's a lot of speculation throughout the years that he might actually be gay and just has a lot of PR relationships.
I would say that you are 100% correct that there is a lot of talk that he is gay and has PR relationships, which is why when somebody said, well, first of all, award season, he goes, okay, well, I have a chance for Maestro. He tried, by the way, to talk to Diana Agron, and she's like, nope. And then supposedly Huma Abedin, I'm like, that there's no way on this earth that you are going out with Huma while you're going through award season, because you know what's going to happen if you actually are? There's going to be some kind of picture. I don't know what, but supposedly, let's say Huma and Anthony Weiner have some kind of good parental relationship for their kids or whatever. So they're at the park in New York City or something like that. And Bradley Cooper's dating Huma and all three of them in a picture. So all of a sudden you're going to have a picture of a guy who's trying to get an Oscar with
Anthony Weiner, a pedophile.
Exactly. You know, you're not going to win. So that was, as soon as somebody said, oh, you know, he's seeing Huma, I go, that is the biggest lie in the entire world. But I do see him getting back together with Arena just at least through, you know, March.
Interesting. Okay. Are there more actors out there that we're going to see are into like cannibalism and stuff, like Armie Hammer? Does he get back into the good graces of Hollywood, or is he done?
He wasn't that great of an actor to begin with. Trying really hard, and they kept giving him roles, and he was not very good in any of them. He's not a nice guy. He'll make a comeback. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is throwing his entire, you know, saying, you know, Army, come on, come live here. I'll pay for whatever, you know, rehab and all that kind of stuff. So Robert Downey Jr. has decided, I guess, that Army's his pet project. And
what?
He's living in one of Robert Downey Jr.'s houses. Robert Downey Jr. paid for the rehab and stuff. One of the things that you need to look back with Armie Hammer is there were the women that were accusing him and stuff. And especially the first accuser. At some point, she decided, okay, I'm going to drop all this.
If you've watched the House of Hammer documentary on Discovery Plus, I believe it is, this is the woman that I think lives in Dallas or something. She's in Texas, right?
Yeah.
She's in tech or something. And so they started following each other, and that's how they got involved.
Right. And as soon as she dropped kind of her complaint or whatever, the next day he left his sex addict rehab. So it's all just a game. If you think about it like this, James Franco's coming back. That's a person that should never, ever come back in the history of time. I would much prefer an Armie Hammer comeback, I guess, to a James Franco one, because somebody could argue that the Armie Hammer ones were consensual.
Consensual, exactly what I was going to say.
You know, and, you know, if people want to engage in some kind of cannibal cosplay, I mean, that's not me, but if it's two consenting adults, then okay.
When is the bomb going to drop on Franco? Because it seems like he's getting zero consequences for anything.
He gets none. And, you know, honestly, one of the things that really, really upset me about it, and I called it out, and it was, he was getting paid and credited still on the Pam and Tommy documentary that was on Hulu. Not documentary, but the Pam and Tommy show on Hulu. And he was still listed as a producer in all the credits and everything, and he was supposed to have been taken off. And I just went after that every day. And then they finally removed him from the credits. But he just has this long history going back. One of his victims is one of my, you know, best friends. And so it's just like, I don't understand. There doesn't appear to be any consequences. Kevin Spacey, going back to him, until this latest round, he had just signed like a $5 million payday. James Franco has signed a new payday. The director, it's going to skip my mind. He's a French director or whatever who got in a lot of trouble. He just signed a new deal. So it just, there are zero consequences when there is money to be made. None.
Was it a mistake to free Britney?
Oh, that's a landmine right there, Alex. Okay. Everybody, this is my opinion. Knowing her at the time prior to her going into the conservatorship, the dad at the time, and I'm going to agree with Jamie Spears, I'm going to agree with Kevin Federline's 60 Minutes interview on this one portion. Somebody needed to step in and put her in a conservatorship. It didn't have to be a conservatorship. Somebody needed to step in and take care of charge of her life. She had just had a 5150. She has Sam Lutfi poisoning her every day. With whatever he admitted to giving her, which I think really affected her mind. And he was trying to take over all of her business and stuff. If Jamie Spears had not stepped in, I think that Britney would have died. She was checking into different hotels every day to do drugs for a little while and then leaving. There was just too many people asking too many things. She was going to melt down. Something was going to happen. So Kevin Federline is correct that Jamie did save his daughter. At some point, however, that saving became, you know, taking advantage of, manipulating, controlling. I want all the money for myself. I'm going to sleep with Lou Taylor. And Lou Taylor, you know, now I owe Lou Taylor everything in the whole world because of, you know, I decided to sleep with her. And Lou Taylor is Britney's former business manager, who also is a business manager for the Kardashians and others. And so Britney does not appear to, I think that Britney can do whatever she likes. If she wants to spend all her money on her grifter boy husband, she can.
Okay, he is in it for the wrong reason. Sam Asghari.
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course. 100%.
I've had red flags on him from the freaking beginning.
Yes. But here's the thing. Every single one of her boyfriends was bought and paid for. So the boyfriend before that was paid for by the conservatorship. He worked, I think, they gave him some glory gopher job at the law firm and paid him like $100,000 a year, which he probably should have got paid like $15 an hour. There was her former manager who was going to be a co-conservator or whatever. Everybody was making money as her boyfriend. So why is Sam any different? But yeah, of course, the reason that they moved into a new house was so that it wouldn't be separate property.
Okay, so this is the thing. Is Sam Asghari, in your opinion, actually running the conservatorship now?
Okay, so there is not technically a conservatorship. However, I think that Jody Montgomery is still involved. One of the things that happened at the wedding was Jody Montgomery got her picture taken, and I think E! Ran with it. And then within an hour afterwards, and she was just kind of in the background, but an hour later, they took down that photo. Because they didn't want everybody to think that Jody Montgomery, who was the conservator of the person during the latter stages of the conservatorship, was there. I think that Sam and Britney have a very unusual, contentious relationship. Remember when Britney was stranded on the side of the road not that long ago in the middle of the night? Where was Sam? How come he didn't come get her? How come he let her drive off with an empty tank of gas? How come that wasn't her first call was to him? It was not her first call. If you're married to somebody and you're not that even far from home, isn't your husband going to be your first call when it's 3 o'clock in the morning stranded on the highway?
Yep. You're right.
And it wasn't. Why does she always pose naked? Maybe she likes it. But here's my issue with the 60 Minutes interview. She starts going off after her kids and saying, well, I'm going to cut you off when you're 18. Was she referring to KFED? Was she referring to the kids? But in either event, if you're a child who's 15 and another one's 16, you're in high school, you're going to school every day, and somebody comes up to you, go, oh, I saw your mom naked again yesterday. I saw your mom dancing naked again yesterday on the Instagram. Because every single day, Britney poses naked. Every single day, Britney dances around topless or whatever. It's got to be, her kids have got to go, oh my gosh, mom, why are you doing this to
us? No, she's totally embarrassing her sons 100%. I think that Kevin knows this and he's using that because they are about to turn 18 and he's trying to, I don't know, swindle something. He's trying to like stay in her pay on her payroll somehow or something by bringing up all this drama. Like what is, you know, why else would he be revealing all this stuff? Like, well, Britney's actually a really bad mother.
Well, a part of the reason is that you're right. It is going to run out. There was a time when Jamie Spears hit, I don't know if it was Sean or Preston, I can't remember, hit one of the kids, and then Kevin used that to get a new settlement. So instead of $20,000 a month in child support, he gets $60,000 in child support per month. It is going to run out in 2 years. He has turned down money-making opportunities before. I think that he has a new reality show, which I think every single person in America would watch.
Yes.
Exactly. So they'll throw a bunch of money at him. I think that that's why he's out there generating publicity. And, oh, by the way, we have a new reality show, you know, follow the Federlines or something like that.
Whoa. And,
right. And the kids will be in it because you also you have kids from three different mothers, which would be involved in it. Right. Because you have Shar Jackson, then you have Victoria, then you have the kids with Brittany. And it would just, I think, just following them around. And I think that everybody would watch it. Every single person would watch it. Brittany can do nothing about keeping her kids out of it because Kevin's got all the power legally. And one of the other things is all these years and all the stuff, Brittany still only gets 1 day a week or every other week, you know, to see. So obviously there's some kind of thing that's been going on long, long term. When's the last time you saw a picture with her and her kids?
Yeah, they don't want to see her.
No. Now, did he poison them against her?
Yes, probably a little bit. I think it's probably both. I think they're normal teenagers that are, yeah, they're embarrassed of their mom. They're annoyed with her, whatever. But then I think their dad's not helping matters.
No, he's probably not. But he's also the one who we would have never guessed this a long time ago that Kevin Federline, the unemployed, horrible rapper who didn't have a job and already had two kids that he wasn't paying child support for, could be a really good dad and took care of all of these kids all these years and navigated them through the entirety of what was going on with Britney Spears.
Sometimes your period can be a real Scrooge, but the true Scrooges of the world are people who shrink women down to names like bleeder and chest feeder. It makes me want to throw up. These people need to be put on the naughty list and probably in a padded room and stay there. Also, one of the biggest things I came to realize in my 20s is that it really does make a difference for everything you put inside your body to be organic and free of harmful chemicals. That includes your tampons, ladies. Garnu is at the top of Santa's nice list because they are one of the only tampon brands that doesn't support abortion or fund Planned Parenthood. Unlike the competition, they don't say that men can have periods, and their tampons are 100% organic. At the core, Garnu understands that women are unique from men, that periods and pregnancy are a girls-only club, and that our cycles are designed for life. That's what Garnu values: life, the lives of the unborn, your period quality life, and the lives of girls in Nepal. What do I mean by that? With every purchase, Garnu fights human trafficking. Garnu means rescue in Nepali. Their packaging, by the way, is so much cuter than the big feminine product brands. I so look forward every single month to getting my box. Garnu is the tampon brand perfect for all women during their time of the month, not just in the month of December, but every month, all year round, because, you know, we have to deal with this crap once a week for the rest of our lives. Well, at least most of our lives. So, yeah, help your period not be a Scrooge by giving it the gift of Garnu. And by the way, they also have menstrual cups. Just go to garnu.com/spillover. That's garnuu.com/spillover and use code spillover to receive 15% off your first month of organic tampons when you subscribe exclusively for Spillover listeners. Don't be on the naughty list this year and join the Girls Only Club by going to garnu.com/spillover with code spillover. Everybody likes to talk about Britney, but one of the saddest and most confusing breakdowns and just overnight changes in Hollywood to me has always been Amanda Bynes. We went from one day she's completely normal. She's this A-list actress. She's doing all these huge movies as an adult. Then all of a sudden, she is going crazy on social media. She's posting bizarre things. She's dyeing her hair weird colors. She looks different. She looks dirty. It's just like overnight there was this change. What happened to Amanda Bynes?
The thing is I watched her go through it. There was one night where, and I've talked about this before, where we met in an IHOP and she was wearing something extremely sexy or something. And then she had like an overcoat and it was really out of place at IHOP at the middle of the night kind of thing. And it was a slow kind of decline. I think that she started taking some medication that wasn't working. And that really set this decline in motion. And there's always been, you know, this history that she had with her parents that it wasn't horrible, but it just wasn't great. And I think also the pressure of her having to deal with being the breadwinner in the family from such a very young age that it kind of started to take her toll. Then there was also the time. This is something that came to me from Amanda, which is fine because she told me before that I could share it, and I have. But she was talking about Dan Schneider, and she once sent me this thing that she goes, I want you to make a blind out of this. And she sent it to me. And basically, if you took the capital letters and everything that she wrote, it said Dan did it. And so she sent me that.
This is a huge thing, especially with Jeanette McCurdy's book just coming out.
Right. And other people are, I think Jeanette kind of is going to allow the gates to open a little bit, because Dan Schneider is kind of my, you know, white whale, Moby Dick kind of thing. I work every day to try and get somebody to talk on the record or, you know, just give me something. And Amanda's been basically the only one. I've had lots of stories about Jeanette from many, many years ago about this guy that she was seeing when she was underage. He was married. And she mentions him in her book, but makes it seem as if it was, I don't think that she talks that it was a sexual relationship, but every once in a while on social media, going back to people and crowdsourcing gossip, she would make a mistake and she'd take a photo at her house and he'd be like half in the mirror or something like that. And then somebody would realize it and they would take it down. But it's people like Jeanette, it's other people on those shows that need to speak up. And I think it's going to take somebody like Ariana coming forward, Ariana Grande.
But it seems like from Jeanette McCurdy's book that Ariana Grande and him have always been like intertwined, really on good terms. And like she never wanted to say anything bad about her experiences with Nickelodeon.
She never has, ever. And that's why we need her to say something. And maybe she'll come out and say, hey, I never heard anything. But what I'm talking, when I talk to reporters and stuff who always come to me and they want things, is that, and Dan Schneider talked, I think it was in maybe the BuzzFeed article, or no, was it BuzzFeed? Insider, sorry, Business Insider article, and said that he doesn't ever get, if he doesn't ever want anything written. There's no text. Don't say anything bad.
Yeah.
You know, and
he
or
voice
anything
notes
like that.
And stuff like that.
Right. He is very good at covering himself. The old closest we came to anything was a few years ago when, you know, the New York Times reported on him and he got dumped by Nickelodeon. But why? Right. Nobody knows exactly why
he left at the height of should we do like an iCarly revival? He's on the up and up. He's got all of these projects that are like the most successful projects Nickelodeon's ever done. And then poof, he announces he's leaving.
Right. And he still gets money from the iCarly reboot. And his best friend is in charge of Paramount, which is the parent company for Nickelodeon. Brian Robbins. They started on Head of the Class together, which also had Robin Givens in it, by the way. So they're best friends, and Brian Robbins is in charge of Paramount, Paramount Plus, Paramount Studios, and also Nickelodeon.
Do you think it's fair to dub Dan Schneider as the Harvey Weinstein of children's entertainment?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I could see that. However, I don't think that Dan Schneider was masturbating in a pot like Harvey. I don't think that he. I don't know though. I don't think there was a casting couch. I think that there was slow incremental things where, okay, today we're just going to be alone in the room. Mm-hmm. Then the next time what we're going to do is I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. Oh, the next time I'm going to say, oh, look at your feet. Or, you know, because obviously his foot fetish is extreme.
Yeah. I mean, it's like grooming behavior.
Yeah. But he's patient enough to take it so slowly and then not commit anything to writing or stuff. And then also, if you think about how scared the actresses were of Harvey, those were adult actresses. Think about 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-olds and how terrified they are of losing this job where they get to be on TV and be famous.
And where they're most of the time taking care of their families, just like Jeanette McCurdy was.
100%. 100%.
Okay, so one of my favorite Hollywood blinds of today is Dumois. And you've recently been on Do Me After Dark, right? So beyond a podcast setting, like, do people talk who do blinds? Like, are you guys all friends? Are you sharing gossip with each other and talking about, like, different, you know, news pieces that could be coming out and making sure that you don't post what each other wants to post? Or, like, or what's the deal?
I mean, Dew and I are friends. I mean, we talk really fairly frequently, and she will sometimes I've been on her podcast, both different ones, like Do Me After Dark and also Do You. And she gets so frustrated because I'll go on there and I'll say something which her fans will hate. And then, but she gets all the hate and she goes, no, listen to me, everybody. It's Enty who's saying this. Go email him, go direct message him, you know? I think the only time we've ever cooperated on gossip, there was two times. One time she was really mad at somebody, so I gave her some gossip about somebody, and I don't remember who it was. And the other time was we were trying to figure out, it was before Lady Gaga made her stadium tour announcement, and I was like, well, let me go look. And we kind of worked on it together and go, okay, yeah, these are the dates that she would do it. And then sure enough, like a week later, she announced those dates. So we did that math together. But yeah, so we'll talk. And also, you know, there's Fluently Forward, which does a lot of my blinds, and she's on TikTok and has podcast and Beyond the Blinds. I don't really talk to them as much, but yeah, it's always been like that. It's a little bit reminiscent of way back in the day when every single person, it felt like, had some kind of celebrity gossip blog. You know, you had Pink as the new blog, you had Celebrity Dirty Laundry, Perez, D-Listed, Celeb Bitchy. All of these, just there were so many of them.
It's interesting.
Now they've all gone to the
wayside. Well, they've all gone to the wayside, but you know, everybody loves Dumois. That's one of the most popular Instagrams, period, right now on social media. And yet you have people like Perez Hilton that have really just like fallen to the wayside. I mean, Perez Hilton is nowhere near where he was in like 2007, 2008, 2009. So why is it that somebody like Dumois and her celeb posts are do so well and everybody hates Perez?
Well, it's not so much I think that they hate, that he just hasn't, you know, Perez made his mark by using marks on people, right? He would draw things on their faces.
He was just a little bit more vindictive and vicious.
And then, but he changed because he became a celebrity. And I think when you become a celebrity, that it's a lot different. Look at Lainey Gossip. Right. When she all of a sudden she's on television every day in Canada, she's not nearly as snarky as she used to be because she's talking to these celebrities and she doesn't want to go on there. And they'll say, look at what you wrote about me yesterday. I'm not coming on here. And that goes back to one of my original points to you, is that one of the reasons that media kisses the butts of celebrities so much and why you can't believe really anything that you read about them is that every single writer, they want access. The magazines want access, but the writers especially want access. They want to go backstage. They want to get a chance to fly on Rihanna's private jet. They want to go to the cool party. They want to go to the premiere. And they're not going to do any of those things if they say anything bad about any celebrity.
Everybody will
not allow them. Never, ever, ever. I used to, when I started the blog, I used to get invited to literally everything. And after maybe 6 months, they realized, oh my gosh, this guy's just going to say whatever we want. Haven't been invited to one thing since.
Where do you predict journalism and Hollywood blind culture will be 10 years from now? Like, will people be still caring about the lives of celebrities, wanting in on rumors? Or do you think that society is more and more disillusioned by Hollywood, given, you know, their recent scandals and just the political divide that we're in?
I think everybody hates Hollywood. I think everybody knows that it's messed up. But I think at the same time, it's going to be important, whether it's me or somebody else or Dumois, to just, and what, it doesn't even have to be blinds, but just gossip. It needs to be somebody to take it down and to show, look, this stuff's not real. You know, the Kardashians are not real. None of that is real. It's all about marketing. It's all about making money. It's all about being famous. It's all about, you know, increasing wealth, doing the things that they want to do. And it used to be, it was not even that long ago, that like Us Weekly or Life and Style, they would actually write news. People forget that People magazine started off in Time magazine as a column. It used to actually break news. It used to write news. It would have no problem saying if some star was using cocaine. There would be nothing like that anymore, because the only way that they make any money is by having stars come in, write fluffy pieces and stuff, take great pictures, and then hope that somebody's interested in it. And nowadays, the people who buy magazines are people, you know, boomers, you know, aging Gen X kind of thing, because Gen Z, millennials, TikTok, Instagram, which is why I do is so popular, social media, they get their gossip a different way. Blind items work because you can put blind items on TikTok. You can put blind items on Instagram. You don't need to be in a magazine or some other format. So I hope that it's still out there. I hope that people are still, you know, calling out bad behavior and at least trying to fight the fight.
Is there a blind that you can give us today without revealing who it is? Like just something that we can look forward to and kind of like chew on?
I think that the Justin Bieber is, you know, he canceled the tour. I think that that is going to be something that's really big. I think he's given the some kind of syndrome or whatever that paralyzed half his face. I call that the Angelina Jolie disease, where she kind of makes up a new disease every 6 months that nobody's ever heard of.
So you're saying that it has been a complete PR bullcrap thing to cover up that Justin Bieber doesn't really have some kind of disease?
No, he doesn't have any kind of disease. Look, I think he's back on drugs. Which is the cause why he had to cancel the tour before COVID. He broke down, had to leave and go take care of himself. All through COVID, Scooter Braun kept saying, oh, we're going to go on tour. We're going to go on tour. He didn't want to go on tour and was grateful for COVID, was ecstatic that COVID happened.
But it was because of low ticket sales or what, though?
No, he just didn't want to do it. And then they couldn't sell it during COVID because there was too many jurisdictions, too many different rules. But Scooter Braun makes his money by sending his people out on the road. And his big money maker is Justin Bieber. And I said prior to him going on tour that it would get canceled because he wasn't up to it. And one of the things that happens when Justin Bieber is having trouble is he goes back to drugs. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Justin Bieber in rehab. My question is always going to be, is Haley gonna go with him?
What have you heard about Haley's feelings on Justin's problems? Like, does she have her own problems and they do those problems together or deal with their problems together? I'm trying to think of like a fair way to say this so we don't get in trouble. Or does it break Haley and she wants to, you know, there's times where she thinks, is this even worth it? Like, should I leave this marriage?
I don't think that Haley will ever leave the marriage. I honestly wouldn't have given it 2 seconds when they got married, just because of the fact that before they got together, Haley was Justin's, I just broke up with Selena again. And Haley would go, well, I can't come out there. I'm going to do some kind of modeling. He goes, okay, well, I'll give you a bunch of money. I'll go shopping if you come out here to wherever I am. Okay, I'll go. And when you have that kind of relationship, it doesn't necessarily tend to make for long, you know, term thing. And especially all the stuff that she had to deal with when it comes to Selena Gomez and all of the people hating Haley who loved Selena. I thought it would be 2 seconds. There's no prenup. This woman is not going anywhere. She is ride or die with Justin. And the problem is that Justin has a lot of issues and that Haley sticks with them no matter what, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's mental health, whether it's him cheating on her. She's not going anywhere. And one of the things that I always talk about in LA are that there's two kinds of people. There's Kim Kardashian, people who dress like Kim Kardashian or Kylie Jenner. And then there's people who dress like Haley. And I'm always a bigger fan of the people who dress like Haley.
Oh, yeah.
And I have come to admire Haley a lot over the last couple of years, just as things come in and she just lives her life. I found it really interesting that she was with Justin on the last couple of days before he decided to cancel the tour. So she wanted to be there with him when he was going through it and just right there. So, but yeah, I think that we will see that Justin's in rehab. And I know that Haley's had issues, but I think that when he's doing really poorly, that she tries to be more of a rock and not necessarily join him in certain activities. So my guess, it will just be him.
I absolutely love how much you've spilled today. Like, this is beyond my expectations. So thank you so much. Now, for everyone who's just discovering you, NT, for the first time, and they're like, oh my gosh, another Hollywood blind that I have to become obsessed with and check regularly. Where do they follow you? Like, where are you on social media? What's your blog called? All of that.
My blog is crazydaysandnights.net. I'm at NT Lawyer on all social media. And my Patreon is patreon.com/NT Lawyer.
NT, thank you very much for coming on The Spillover. And listen, if you talk to Amanda Bynes anytime soon, tell her she's always welcome to.
I will tell her.
Fun fact about this interview. So I wasn't allowed to know NT's identity either. He called in with his camera off to record. So crazy. And you should know that this interview was actually recorded in September, which is why I didn't ask about like the Kardashians and the Balenciaga drama. But I know NT's colleague, House and Habit, has been killing it, reporting the scoop on that saga on her Instagram story. She's someone I would also love to interview. So if you follow her, tell her to come on The Spillover. Maybe if enough people comment and message her, she'll come on. After all, that is what happened with Alexa Penavega. You guys incessantly told her to come on the show, so she did. And you'll enjoy that interview a lot if you've never heard it. She goes into a lot of that early 2000s Hollywood it girl drama. I know she talked about like Lindsay Lohan and Hilary Duff and all that kind of stuff because they were all kind of like in a little girl gang together. That is season one, episode 19 of The Spillover. And then another juicy pop culture episode I did was with celebrity and billionaire matchmaker Gina Hendricks. That is season two, episode 13. Next week, I will be talking to a woman who, after 30 years of marriage, discovered her husband was a pedophile. You will not want to forget to listen to that. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you have not already. I cannot stress enough how beneficial it is when you leave a 5-star review every week. This show is free, and that's the only thing I ask from y'all, to leave us reviews and share the episodes with everyone you know. The Spillover is back next Thursday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe to Poplitics on YouTube and participate in our conversations there. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you, mean it. Bye.